Hi, everybody. This is Adriana Trigiani. I'm the host of You Are What You Read. I have the privilege of interviewing luminaries of our times about the books that shaped them from childhood until now. We get everybody from Sarah Jessica Parker to Kristen Hanna, Mitch Albom, Susie Essman, Craig Ferguson, Rainn Wilson, Amor Towles, you name it, they come, they share. New episodes of You Are What You Read drop every Tuesday on Apple, Spotify, or any major streaming platform wherever you listen to your podcasts.
Welcome to the family with
Mike Gelfand
and Andy Brampernard.
You're still wearing that hat just to annoy me. In the Twins season, by the way,
it is bad.
The NFL draft is tonight, so what do the Twins do? They have a day game. Even though Catherine's out of town and I'm taking care of Jude, my day is full.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the whole day there. Yeah. It's full. It must be getaway day, right?
It is getaway day. Yes, exactly right. This is their fourth game with Chicago. Chicago is a tremendously horrible baseball team.
Just think, the Twins, if all they ever did was play the White Sox, they could win 140 games.
They could.
Just each team gets paired up for the entire season, and they just play each other over and over.
That hey, White Sox team is amazing because they do everything poorly.
They do. Mike, let me ask you a question. And this is something I've noticed this year more than any other season I can remember. What the hell happened to the defense in baseball?
I know. It's just, well, you look at the Twins, and at least for many years, Rocco's, apparently his strategy was that, you know, you just worry about the hits, you know, and
yeah.
Then the fielding, yep. Fielding is just a sidebar. So what he'd do is, you know, he would just put anybody on the team almost recklessly and sometimes without really, you know, yeah, just recklessly. He wasn't giving it much thought. Oh, okay.
Right.
Okay, so, yeah, well, got the lineup, but we don't have a second baseman. Well, you know, I'll put Buxton at second base. You know, it's that kind of thing. But put anybody anywhere.
Yep.
And it didn't work out that well. And now,
no,
course,
it didn't.
And, but you're right. Now it seems to have spread to most teams.
They're just booting balls in the outfield, the infield. They're not even trying to go after some of these balls. They're making a half-hearted effort.
Yep.
I just don't understand that at all.
Last week, Buxton, it was about a week ago, was it? Buxton hit a long fly ball. Did you see? You may have seen it down the left field line. Well, and of course, Buxton didn't run, right?
No.
He thought it was going to be a home run. I think he'd already go into the whistle pantomime. So, you know, he's not moving. And then the left fielder probably could have caught the ball. She should have caught the ball, but he didn't. And so there is the ball just rolling around in the left field corner, and Buxton figures, maybe I should run now. So he turns what could have been an inside-the-park home run into a double. Now, flashback to last year when he did the same thing. That was, I think, a bloop fly ball, and he didn't run, and it fell in. And then he realized eventually that he needed to go to second. Unfortunately, he wasn't quite sure how to slide. Sliding's really not his thing.
No, it's not.
And that's when he injured his knee. Now, of course, you wouldn't read about that in the local media. But the fact of the matter is that's when he hurt his knee and was basically done for the season.
What you just said describes my feeling about baseball 100%. The batters, after hitting the ball, don't run, and the outfielders, they'll saunter over to catch a ball, but as far as running, you're not seeing a lot of running after fly balls.
And if an outfielder makes like a diving catch, the announcer starts screaming, and boy, do I hate it when announcers scream. And you know, it's like the worst is in basketball. Where, you know, got these guys who are, you know, the Timberwolves have an announcer, and I'm sure he's pretty typical, but, you know, a guy jams the ball, right? Cuts through a couple defenders who don't really just want to get in his way, jams the ball, and this guy's yelling, "Cash!" Now, switch to another game on TBS or something. Same thing. "Cash!" And the fact of the matter is, you know, seeing a 6'10" man deposit the ball into the basket is really it's not really a reason to get excited.
No, not anymore.
No, and like 100 times a game, you will see a ball deposited in the hoop various ways. And mm-hmm. and so when you got guys who are screaming every time, I mean, settle down.
Okay, I got to ask you this also, because no one in the United States expected the Timberwolves to play this well. Mm-hmm. They've won the first two games. Are we going to get our ass handed to us in four of the last five?
It's possible. The first game, you know, it was just insane. Like, every shot, it seemed, that they put up went in. Everything just worked perfectly. This was a team, Phoenix, that had defeated them all three times in the regular season.
Right.
And here it sort of looked like the Minnesota Timberwolves were playing the Minnesota Gophers.
It really did look like. Is it just because? And look, I obviously hope the Timberwolves win the series. They're up 2-0 on the Phoenix Suns. That'd be great. I like it. But sometimes I get the feelings like, you know, whatever. We'll play half-heartedly, and I suppose then we got to play seriously. We'll get down to it.
Well, I mean, of course, obviously, 2-0 is a big. That's big lead at this point.
Yeah, it is. Yep.
Especially because they were not the favorite to win the series. Now they are, obviously, but they weren't. Mm-hmm. Phoenix was actually the favorite.
By far.
Yeah, it got bigger and bigger. The betting just kept coming in on the Phoenix side during the week. So, yeah, and I don't know what it is with Phoenix. I think, you know, they're an older team, mm-hmm. and they may just not have much left in the tank. I just don't know.
Yeah, you might be right about that. Maybe they're at the end of that run for that particular squad.
Yeah, and teams like Denver and Boston, for example, they just mm-hmm. get better every game.
God, Boston's back, aren't they? They've been gone for a long time since the McHale and Bird and the Robert Parrish era.
And even they lost yet last night to Chicago, so anything can happen in these playoffs.
No, you're absolutely right. So, I mean, we got a lot going on. As a matter of fact, we're talking baseball. We're talking basketball. We got the NFL draft tonight. Do you have anybody that you want the Vikings to go get?
You know, I never do. I'm always amazed.
No, I don't either.
I'm always amazed when you have the crowds and they're booing or cheering as if they know something that that the team doesn't know.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably true. And you don't jump in so much during the sports segment.
I'm still reading the Wikipedia article for baseball. So it involves a bat, I understand. Is this the animal?
Yes, it's a bat. They take a bat out of a cage. Mm-hmm. It bites the baseball and flies off into nowhere. But
I would say, I probably know the least about baseball, I think.
That's a sport of great nuance, yes.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of rules, that's for sure. And it's just like, I mean, culturally, like, football is inescapable, no matter who you are or where you are. Mm-hmm. Like, football, you know someone who's into football.
Yeah.
Basketball is not really nearly as big as it was, but as a 90s kid, it certainly was. That's all anyone mm-hmm. talked about for a decade.
Yeah.
I played soccer, so, you know, I know. And that's also the simplest game in the universe. I don't know, hockey. I don't really know that much about hockey either, actually, come to think of it.
No, I don't either. I mean, I've followed sports all my life.
But it's the state of hockey.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Except for North Minneapolis, where all the Jews and Catholics live at that time.
Yeah, oh, yeah. I've always felt that we should have license plates that say Minnesota, the Lou Nanny State.
I like it. Mm-hmm. Lou would like that.
Well, yeah. The state bird is the loon, so you're only one syllable away from Lou Nanny. Well, I guess that would be two syllables.
How about that? Louie the loon, and you have a picture of a loon with Lou Nanny's head on it.
See, there you go.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, and the thing about basketball, though, Andy, is that actually college basketball is more popular than ever.
That's true, college basketball. But the NBA isn't.
Well, but I do have just one, I have to amend that slightly, but it's women's basketball.
That's what I understand.
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah.
Did you see that she got an endorsement deal right out of high school for like $25 million?
That's insane.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think, did they have the NILs when she was right out of high school?
I don't know.
I don't think they did. I think
maybe.
I think it's like it's just like well maybe it is. I don't know. Time passes by very strangely. I think in my age.
It's, yeah, believe me, I know.
I guess you would.
Because I know. I mean, her salary around 150 grand or 200 grand a year.
No, I think her salary as a pro is like $85,000.
It's not very much. I know that.
It's
not very much.
It's like 88,000 maybe. I'm just.
Oh, so it's like 300 grand total for like 2.5 years.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So it's just, it's almost incidental.
And then she gets a $25 million endorsement deal, so who really gives a rat? I don't think we've ever gotten a big $25 million endorsement deal on this show, have we?
Well, it's, you know, we're just still building up to it.
Yeah, that's what it
but,
is.
But actually, you know, I think $25 million, I think, is a little inflated. I'm not sure.
You think?
But yeah. You know how it is. It's first it turns out she's getting $2 million, then someone has to write she's getting $4
million. Right.
But, no, but you know, point. I think her State Farm deal is the biggest. But now the Nike deal may be bigger, though.
Yeah, Nike puts out those big, big contracts.
So that and the Nike bill, the Nike deal might be, it might be $3 million or something a year.
Mm-hmm.
Is that text you're sending so important that you missed your turn? Is that text you're sending so important that you ran the red light? Is that text you're sending so important you didn't see the ball coming onto the road or the child that followed? Hi, I'm Mike Bryant from Bradshaw & Bryant. When you take your eyes off the road for even 4 seconds, your vehicle travels 100 yards. That's the entire length of a football field. If you absolutely have to text, you need to pull off the road somewhere safe and do it from there. Texting and driving is against the law and can cause serious injury or even death to you and others. Now that is important. We hope you're never injured in a collision, but if you are, please contact us.
Find Bradshaw and Bryant, personal injury attorneys at MinnesotaPersonalInjury.com.
Going farther with Mike Bryant on your side, seeking justice for the injured. Bradshaw and Bryant.
Tom here. For years, you've heard me talk about my friends at North American Banking Company. They have great online and mobile banking options, plus friendly employees who are always ready to help. And with their location in Maple Grove now open, it's even more convenient for me and my family. Go visit my friends at any one of their 6 Twin Cities locations or go online to nabankco.com to learn more. Why not bank with my banker? North American Banking Company, a better banking experience, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. You all have helped build MyPillow into the incredible company it is today and have trusted in Mike Lindell to give you a great night's sleep. Mike's latest incredible deal is on the Giza Dream Sheets, which you've heard me rave about before, that's for sure. These sheets are made from the world's best cotton, Giza. They are ultra soft and breathable, yet extremely durable. Right now, the Giza Dream Sheets at its lowest price ever. These sheets are 60% off, coming in as low as $39.99 with promo code TOM.
All these crazy alien stories can't be true, can they? Hey, it's Stephen Diener, host of the Unidentified Alien Podcast. And whether you're new to the conversation or have been looking into it for years, you need to check out the fastest growing alien show out there, the Unidentified Alien Podcast, or UAP for short. There's a crazy amount of alien encounter stories out there from all over the world. And the beauty of it is that I bring them all to you and let you decide what you believe. Download and subscribe to UAP on any of the major podcasting platforms. And you can also find it on UAPpodcast.com.
But it's, you know, $3 million is good. No matter, it doesn't matter where you are.
Now, yeah, where you get the $3 million.
But it's not the same as like the Adidas deal with anti-Semites who were playing in the NBA. I have one in particular, and I think he was making like $20 million a year.
Who is it?
See, he had the Adidas deal. It was that nut job. He played for the Knicks. I don't know where he is now. I haven't followed that. But yeah, they eventually Adidas canceled the deal. Because of his anti-Semitism.
He came out against Jews? Really?
Oh, you know, all the sort of mythology that you're hearing now on every college campus, yeah.
Okay, we're not going to spend a lot of time on this, Mike, because you'll get all whipped up and so will everybody else, and I understand that. Mm. But I do not understand. I should have paid more attention. So if I'm way off base, it's because I didn't pay enough attention. Didn't Hamas attack Israel first,
you know,
and then Israel fought back?
I think people have forgotten that.
But how could you forget that? It just happened in October.
But you know what's fascinating is that I can't help it because I'm a boomer. So I look back at the last time protests erupted on every college campus, right?
Yeah.
And that was the 60s.
67 or 8, something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, it's right around there, and it went through to 1970 until finally, you know, but it was all about Vietnam. Mm-hmm. It was about, and it was successful in at least perhaps hastening our departure from Vietnam. But the weird thing there was that was the protesters were protesting war. They wanted peace. And these protesters are protesting peace. They want war.
They want war. You're
so
absolutely right.
It's a little different.
I just don't understand. I mean, so basically I will support whoever you are or in your head, if you're not who you appear to be and you're changing and you're becoming who you really are, you be who you are. I will support you no matter what it is. I support it unless you're a Jew. Well, it's like, what?
It's, you know.
It makes no sense.
Oh, they hate a lot more than Jews.
Oh, who do they hate? Who else do they hate?
Well, they hate so many people. It would be quicker to list who they do not hate.
Why the hatred, Andy? You're a young fella. Why is everybody so hate-filled right now?
It makes them feel important.
But they're not. It makes you look like an idiot.
But it makes them feel important.
So are you suggesting that these protesters are not going to significantly change the
Oh, well, I'm sure the ones listening will. But
yeah, I mean, after all, wouldn't you think they'd have a great impact on what's going on in Israel?
Yeah, absolutely. It's like when, what was that police department said they're going to, like, monitor the situation? It was like the NYPD said they're monitoring the situation in Israel or something.
Yeah.
It's like, what the hell do you mean you're monitoring it? Are you going to, like, fire your pistols across the ocean? Like, it's just like people think that they are the main character of their story.
Or, they do.
Or
you're
the
right.
story of the world.
Yeah.
And thus, they must have some ability to affect the main plot. But the problem is there is no main plot. There are no main characters. But
no.
I think people are so so raised on fiction that they think in fictional terms.
That's a good way to put it.
And actually, there's a very old book you may have heard of, Don Quixote.
Yeah.
Which is actually a fantastic read these days because that is literally what the book is about. He reads this fantasy novel about knights, and he's like, I think I'm going to become a knight. And so what he does is he roams the land searching for damsels to rescue and dragons to slay. And it's basically just a book about these people. They're picking fights with people because they're a knight and they need a fight because that's what knights do.
Mm.
They don't understand that the world has kind of evolved past the need for that kind of thing. So they kind of try to make the world into the thing that they want to be. And it doesn't work, but that is how I would say at least the majority of people operate these days.
Yeah.
Are we going to get past this? I'm already worn out by the fact that everybody is an expert on what's going on in the Middle East.
Yeah,
and of course,
you
have no idea what the hell you're talking about.
Has there been a man on the street interview thing where they say point to Israel or Palestine on a map? Because I'd love to see the results of that.
I would too. I agree with you.
Or like name the current leader of either of those countries.
Yeah. Very good.
I bet 90% of them couldn't.
Well, I would say that the 100 or so protesters on college campuses, most of them have heard of Netanyahu.
Yeah, Netanyahu is the one. He's the one that everyone knows.
But
like, who's the current leader of Palestine?
Well, there. I guess there really isn't one.
Well, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, well, they got to have a prime minister or president or emperor or whatever they have.
Well, they have somebody. Yeah.
Yeah, but I bet none of them could name him.
Just the whole thing is, I mean, people just don't have any perspective on this thing. Everybody on campus, at least, well, the protesters, you know, they think it's just open and shut, right?
Right, they do. Yes.
Never mind about the 1,200 people Hamas killed. Never mind about the Netanyahu and the fact that Netanyahu's a war criminal. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
And the terrorists are by definition war criminals. So you've got war criminals fighting each other. While the people who actually live there, they just would like peace. They'd like to live in peace. For most of them would, you know. When you're living there, it's a much different perspective. I've talked to people who have lived there. And, you know, I've talked to people in my neighborhood who used to live there. And you'd be amazed at how middle of the road they really are. They're not saying what people on campus are saying. They're not saying we have to destroy the other side. We have to incinerate.
No, they're not.
Because they know it's never going to happen.
Yes, and that's a very good point. They are not saying the things these college kids think they're saying.
Right.
They're not doing that. I mean, I don't understand it. I don't understand how one woman said that she was not allowed to go into her class, and she said, I am paying $90,000 a year to attend these classes, mm-hmm. and they won't. 90 grand a year now to go to college?
I've never heard of that. I mean, I have heard of colleges that say it's $90,000 a year, but everybody gets, some sort of relief. Even if you're millionaires, you get some kind of relief. It's like Harvard. Harvard could be $90,000 a year for all we know, but I don't think anybody goes to Harvard actually pays $90,000.
So why do they do that, Mike? What's the upside of doing that?
So you can't go there.
That's a very good point. You can't get in, Tom. Mm-hmm. That's the problem.
Maybe part of it. I don't know. But we know that a lot of people who go to these elite colleges shouldn't really be there, aren't qualified.
You're 100% right.
Kushner's the classic example. His dad, who's a felon, gives $1 million to Harvard, and yep, you're in.
God, isn't that amazing?
Seems strange to pay $1 million to get your kid into Harvard when you could just pay the tuition. Although I guess the $1 million covers the lack of qualifications.
Yeah, I mean, a guy like Jared Kushner is not going to be accepted to Harvard. That's, he's not that bright. That's the way it works. But if you pay the college enough, and that's the whole thing about the legacy students. They come from very wealthy families very wealthy families. And the colleges know that these people are going to pay up. They're going to pony up, give to the alumni fund, give whatever. They're going to give tens of millions of dollars to the college. But now Robert Kraft, the guy who owns the Patriots.
Patriots, yep.
And he's a Columbia guy. And he's a guy who probably over the years has given hundreds of millions of dollars to Columbia. And right now he's saying, nope, no more. Which is interesting because Columbia's, of all these colleges where the protests are, they're the ones cracking down on the students the most. The protesters.
The protesters.
Who are students in most cases.
Yeah, some of them are not, though. Some just are joining the party. Another thing that pisses me off. You're just going to wander in there, are you?
Well, yeah, the whole thing is so, it's just so weird. It's so ridiculous, the idea that they are going to have some impact on the whole thing. It's not like the 60s, again, when protesters actually did have an impact on what was going on in Vietnam. But there's nothing like that here.
I still don't understand how it happened at the college level for college students to turn on Jews the way they have. How is that possible?
Well, in a college like Columbia, which prides itself on being an international school, and they have lots of students there who are Muslims, Arabic, and who would naturally be inclined to support Palestine more than the average student. The average student probably really doesn't, even at Columbia, doesn't really care.
No, I think you're probably right about that.
But here you have very aggressive people who care, and I don't know, but the whole idea that they're shutting down the campus, it's absurd for one thing, but obviously ethically it's just wrong, no matter what they support.
Where do you find the Arabic headdress that all these women are wearing who are not Arabs? They're not Muslims, but they're wearing the headdress, baby. Where do you get that headdress?
Well, you get those at the gift shop when you leave the campus.
That's where you get them right there.
The mandatory gift shop exit.
That's right.
Honest to God, I always go back to it. I grew up in a neighborhood of Catholics, Jews, and black people, and I don't remember all this hubbub going on with three groups of people who have very little in common, but we all got along back then.
Yeah, and I don't remember walking by a synagogue and seeing three guys who looked like they belonged to the Mossad standing in front of it with their hands in their pockets.
I know. I just, why the hate? What is this all about? Making money off of hatred? Is that what this is all about?
I think it's about, you know, it's about like tens of thousands of years of hatred.
It is. I understand that.
I mean, there obviously there's other things to be gained. Look, Netanyahu could not get elected and reelected if he wasn't a war criminal. That's the way he puts it. There has to be tension there. There has to be war. There has to be murders on both sides. And the terrorists, I mean, obviously, they're not going to have any credibility unless they're actually terrorizing people. So that's what you have on both sides. You have leaders who want this war to continue endlessly. Yeah. And they don't care about the people dying, their own people or the others. They just don't care.
But I will tell you this, it's across the board, and this is at a much less severe level. There's no question about that. But I have a friend who lives in Canada, and he tells everyone he meets that Canada is just a better version of America.
Oh, I don't know about that.
What do you think of that take?
It probably was for a while, actually, because, you know, they had very little involvement in many wars. They had involvement, but not nearly like we did.
Right.
You know, very little crime. Their dollar was pretty strong, but I don't know. The last 10 years have not been kind to Canada.
No, and they had the same, exact same fentanyl problem as we do.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, so they can't, argue that they're like a drug-free country or anything like that. They got a real problem there. Now, I will say this. Most people who live in Canada, and I've talked to people who've lived in the U.S. and Canada, what they will say is that they have a much better health care system there because they don't have people who have to die because they can't find a doctor. And they don't have, they don't have, you know, people declaring bankruptcy because they can't pay their hospital bills. So they're a little ahead of us there, I think. But then again, what country isn't when it comes to health care?
You know, it's really interesting you bring that up because I have a bunch of doctor's appointments next week. Just, you know, go into the summer. First of all, I do need surgery on my left eye because the vision in my left eye sucks.
Cataract?
I don't know if it is or not. It might be, but I don't know what the hell it is.
Well, what can they do for the eye in surgery?
They can go in and redo the lens, apparently.
Okay.
Sounds like cataract surgery.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right, Annie. It's probably true. But I did find out that I have a physical with a doctor.
Yeah.
And you can get a regular physical, which apparently you don't learn anything about. It's just they shoot through it very, very quickly.
7 minutes, I think, you get with the doctor.
Yeah. Well, there are specialists now in Palm Beach County. Mm. There are specialist doctors who do the exams. Mm. They do not take insurance, and the exam costs $4,500.
Well, you know, if you get $45 million, I guess that's not a bad deal.
Yeah, it's not a bad deal if you got $45 million.
Yeah, I got $45 in my pocket, and that makes me feel rich.
That exam cannot take more than an hour. Mm-hmm. You think? I mean, it's about an hour, isn't it? Well, to do the whole top to bottom.
It could theoretically take longer. A lot of it depends on what they do in the lab, of course.
Yeah, they're very, very true. But let's say it is okay. Let's say it takes 2 hours.
Yeah.
You're still paying $2,250 an hour.
Well, you're paying, that's the thing, is there's a lot of people in that room.
Yeah.
And a lot of them get paid quite well. I mean, the anesthesiologist, there's the anesthesiologist nurse, there's the surgeon, there's the surgeon's nurse.
Oh, yeah.
There's probably a resident in the room as well.
Yeah, I think I just stopped getting bills from the anesthesiologist.
They make a lot of money.
For the surgery that saved my life, I'll say everything was worth it. But that was 11 years ago.
Yeah. Well, nothing has changed. But, I mean, considering their job is knowing exactly where to put the dial so you don't either wake up on the table or die, I'm okay with paying them a decent amount, I'd say.
Oh, yeah, and when I was in the hospital, you know, I thought about the fact that the nurses are making like $140,000 a year in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
Not enough as far as I'm concerned.
No.
It depends on what department you're in.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Or what hospital.
Or what hospital.
Yeah.
I suppose that is probably
true. But, of course, the thing you get on Medicare, you don't actually get, they don't even call it a physical. They call it the Medicare wellness checkup.
The wellness checkup, I've heard of that.
That's you know, that's like instant lube. It's like a 7-minute job. And then you're in, and then you're out of there. At one point, at one point, there was a rule, I guess it was a Medicare rule, that some doctors observed and some didn't, which said that if you make an appointment with your doctor for some specific thing that's going on, you cannot mention any other complaint.
Really?
Nope. You can only mention, and they won't listen to you. You're there for one thing. So, like, you know, if you have a, let's say, you know, you have a terrible pain in your hip, right? Mm-hmm. You can't, like, incidentally say, yeah, you know, and I think my ankle's got some problems, too. No. We're talking about the hip today.
Only the hip.
I mean, scrupulous doctors don't pay any attention to that crap.
Well, yeah, they have to code it differently if it's just a checkup, mm-hmm. or if you're going in for a specific problem.
Well, and that's the thing with the Medicare wellness check.
Mm-hmm.
If it's coded as a physical, you're going to get a bill for, yep. like $1,200.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had that when Melissa was pregnant the first time. She went in like a week early because she had some concerns. And because of that, because it wasn't a regular scheduled checkup, it was a visit, mm-hmm. we had to pay for it. But if it was a regular scheduled visit or a checkup, then we wouldn't have had to pay for it. You just rearranged some adjectives, and now you're paying $1,000.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question for both of you and all our listeners. I got to believe, watching television, that these pharmaceutical companies are driving all the prices up. Is that accurate?
Oh, no question.
It's not just them, God. Though.
No, but I mean, they're getting more than the taste they should be getting, let's put it that way. And they have all these things that they do to screw consumers, you know, like the patent thing. Well, yeah. You know, this patent runs out after, what is it, 7 or 8 years? But now they have a new and improved version, so they get another 7 or 8
years.
And the new and improved version might be, okay, now you get the extended life pills, right? So they're the ones that, like, instead of, you don't have to take...
Extended release,
Extended release, exactly. So now you don't have to... I could use an extended release, but the fact... but it's never going to happen. But the fact is, you know, it's actually the same thing, but now you don't have to take 2 pills a day, not only one.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Are you down to one now?
Yeah, and it's like, you know, I have a son who has very bad case of arthritis. A lot of people who have this arthritis, you see the ads all the time, of course, you know, for Enbrel and these other biologics. And there's like 4 of them now that are basically the same thing, but you have to keep changing them because they tend to be effective maybe for a year, sometimes 2, and then you have to go to a different one. So these drug companies just fix the prices, right? Is it a coincidence that it's $90,000 a year for these drugs at each drug?
God.
I know. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's gotten everything now is just so over the top. I mean, I just, and like I said, the number one thing right now is the hatred part of it. You know, we started this conversation with that.
Yeah.
No wonder people are just going off the deep end of, it kind of does remind me of the late 60s in a way. I mean, Martin Luther King was assassinated, so hopefully that won't happen. You know, I mean, the Kennedys being assassinated and all that. Hopefully that won't happen. But the hatred level is the highest I've seen it since about 1969.
And you have to wonder. You do have to wonder what's going to erupt from this.
Something will. There's no, and it ain't going to be pretty when it happens.
No. Well, it's already not pretty, yeah. But it can get a lot worse.
You're talking 75 years, or not 75 years ago, but 55 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
55 years ago, it was very, I mean, Andy, the entire north side of Minneapolis was on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the cities in America were on fire.
Yeah.
People were just being, you know, gunned down in the streets, beaten to death, and all the rest of it. And that's right where we're headed again. If this hatred doesn't back off, mm-hmm. we're going to be right back in that space where we were 55 years ago.
Yep.
Was that 1968 on the north side?
I believe it was 68, yep.
Yeah. It was like, wasn't that the Summer of Love, too?
In Summer of Love, I think it was 67.
67.
Maybe, but I'm not sure.
But they did sort of, somehow they just sort of coexisted, I guess.
I will tell you, Andy, it was really interesting. You're living on Plymouth Avenue. Plymouth and Girard is where we lived at the time. And I walk out, and there's a we had already moved out away from that house. We were up on 22nd. We're not right on Plymouth anymore. But we walked down there all the time to play with our friends and all that stuff. And you walk down there, and there were tanks on the corner of Plymouth Avenue. There was one on the corner of Plymouth Avenue and Girard. It's like, there's a tank? Why is there a tank here?
What's that tank doing in front of the delicatessen?
Exactly. Oh, God, right in front of Plitman's. What the hell kind of life is this when Plitman has its own tank?
You can't even get a good corned beef sandwich.
Oh, for God's sake. Goyish anachis. That's what this is all about, Mike. There's no question about it.
Joe wants to know if you're going to put any money on how many horses are going to die during the Kentucky Derby.
Are going to die? Why would they die?
Because they have been.
Well, there has been sort of a...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Well, let's see. Is Baffert allowed to have horses in the Derby? I can't remember. Because if he's involved, there'll be one for sure, I'd say. Because he'd probably have five horses there, four of whom can't win, obviously. And, that's the thing, is people, the things they love most, like their horses in many cases, they don't even matter to a lot of these people when the Kentucky Derby is involved. These millionaires, these oil sheiks, and these industrialists, and they...
Like, Joe says no.
No?
No to the Baffert thing.
Go. That's interesting. But these people will risk the lives of these animals.
Yes, they will.
To win the Kentucky Derby. Some of them will do it to win a $5,000 claiming race.
Yep.
So, and the whole thing about horse racing is it can be done humanely. It just isn't.
Mm-hmm. It's like most
things.
No,
it is not.
Well, that's the thing about a racing horse is if it doesn't win, it's not worth anything. And a lot of these people, if a horse isn't worth anything, then it's basically garbage. Might as well throw it away.
Well, that's the way some trainers, that's how they act. And, you know, the worst thing is, the one thing I know because I have owned horses, is when the first time you get the pharmaceutical bill and you really understand how many drugs these horses are getting.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
That's when you get that bad taste in your mouth.
Yep. He says 12 horses died last May during the Kentucky Derby month.
Yeah, they
were 12 horses.
They weren't all in the Kentucky Derby.
No, but they were during the Kentucky Derby month. I should have clarified.
Yeah. That was a terrible, terrible month. You
think it's going to be more or less this year?
Oh, it'll be less because there's fewer horses.
It's just horses will go extinct.
Well, the thing is, when you look at thoroughbreds, one of the reasons that horse racing is, I mean, there are many reasons why the sport is dying, but the fact is, you know, you go back 20 years, there were twice as many thoroughbreds born.
It was much more popular, yes.
And now there just aren't enough horses for tracks like Canterbury. There's not enough of them, and Canterbury doesn't have any money anyway now. It doesn't have any purse money because the Mystic Lake pulled out of the deal they had.
Oh, they did? Yeah. I didn't know that.
I love Canterbury. I worked there for like 25 years, you know, and I was able to, and there were years when, you know, I was able to make enough money to feed the family. But the fact is, I don't see any way they can survive.
Horse racing in general, or just Canterbury Downs?
Canterbury specifically, but a lot of other tracks are going to close. They have to. There's too many tracks. When there's too many of anything, you know, then it gets pared down.
What happened to dog racing? I noticed they've shut down almost all the dog racing in the United States.
That's borderline gone.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, it is.
And most of it is just because there's so many other ways to gamble now.
Yeah,
two active greyhound tracks in the United States.
That's all?
Both in West Virginia.
Oh, my God, in West Virginia. Really?
There you go. There's two left, and they're only in one state.
And in West Virginia, you know, West Virginia being what it is, they're probably just racing the dogs, the mongrels they find on the street. I'm kidding about that, but.
There was one just about a couple of miles from where I'm sitting right now that was in business. The family that owned the Pittsburgh Steelers owned the track. What the hell's their name again? They own the Pittsburgh Steelers football team.
Oh, yeah. Come to me, yeah.
Art.
Rooney.
Art Rooney. There you go. That's exactly who owned the dog racing track. Andy, did you ever go to any dog races back
in the day? I have never been to a dog race, no.
But it was so weird because a couple of years ago we just came down, and the track's still there. The track is still sitting there, mm-hmm. but they don't have dog races anymore. So I don't know what they do with that. It is a stadium. It's not a huge stadium, mm-hmm. but it's like a Miller Field kind of stadium, like the one level and all that.
Yeah.
I mean, so the dog racing, just there were just so many other ways to bet, to gamble, that they don't bother with that anymore. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, dog racing thrived when it was just about the only kind of racing you could bet on. And then racetracks started appearing in many places. Now the racetracks are leaving,
are
shutting
really?
Down. And, of course, the dog racing, yeah, two in the – that shocks me because there were a lot of them.
There were a lot for a long time.
Yeah. When you go to a restaurant, you expect the chef to be an expert. You expect your auto mechanic to be an expert when it comes to fixing your car. You judge them both by the results of their work. Josh Arnold is an expert in investments and planning your financial future. Josh Arnold is my expert, and he should be yours, too. I talk to Josh every week, and he understands the market and the economy, and he knows how to plan for your retirement. Don't put it off another day. The man with your plan is Josh Arnold. Call Josh now for a no-obligation 48-minute evaluation. You've got nothing to lose, and you'll have an expert planning and managing your financial future. Call Josh at 952-925-5608. That's 952-925-5608. Investment services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC Security Investment Advisor. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk. All comments and opinions are Josh Arnold's and do not constitute investment advice. Tom Bernard is a paid endorser.
The one thing that I did hear from people that kind of was a precursor to all this is I said, hey, this is like 20 years ago. I said, I'm going to the dog track and hang out with my buddies at the dog track. What are you going there for? I said, going to watch the dog races. Well, don't you know what happens? I said, no, I don't. I've never been to a dog race. Well, the dogs that come in, like, you know, if there's 10 dogs running and number 8, 9, and 10, they just kill them.
Mm, yeah. A lot of those.
Did they really
going.
Do
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. Well, they would like, you know, the trainers would like to have a big sack of dogs, right? I mean, this is at its worst. And then they just kind of let them run around, and then they'd teach them to race, and then you just describe what happened.
Yep. That's how the Simpsons got their dog. Oh. he was the loser in a greyhound race, so the owner just kicked him out onto the streets.
And they don't really make great pets, by the way.
No. Greyhounds, they need to run a lot.
Yeah.
I'd imagine that's probably true. So that's what it is, though, Mike. There's so many ways to gamble. You can sit in your house and gamble all you want now, can't you?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's I bet the horses on, you know, I'd say 3-4 days a week. And mm-hmm. I wouldn't be able to do it if I actually had to go somewhere.
Yeah, well, there you go. So it's all that. Another thing that artificial intelligence has brought to the forefront is that it, gambling at home. You can go,
well, it's just,
you can go tits up and lose the house you're sitting in.
It's the gift of the internet.
It is the gift of the internet.
But it's hard. It's harder to lose your home because you have to first fund it. Now, in the days of bookmakers, yes, then you can mm-hmm. lose everything a lot more easily because you were basically borrowing the money you're betting on.
Oh, right. Yeah, that makes sense. So, well, you know, it's unbelievable. One thing I'm wondering, but I haven't heard any, because they used to have concerts at that dog track once in a while, because it was a great concert venue. But I don't even think they do that anymore.
Yeah, probably
so I don't
not.
Know what the hell? I don't know
There's
what that's all about.
Too many venues is the problem.
Yeah, there are a lot of venues, no question about it. So what else is happening in the world? We've covered crime, we've covered dog racing, covered horse racing. All we ever do is cover all the topics.
That's what we do. Well,
Anything
you know, there's bad news out there every day, but.
Yeah.
But if you look, I mean, if you're reading the front page of any paper, there's always good news, too. Like, I'll just give you an example. So the other day I was looking at all the stuff going on campus and just all the hatred out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, locally we've had some sensational murders in the last week or two.
Yeah, what the hell?
But in the midst of all of it, there was this one story that put a smile on my face. It's that Tesla is in big problems right now.
They're in big trouble, are they?
Yeah,
they
really are. Yeah, they I think their profits are down by more than 50%. So, you know, unless you're a fan of Elon Musk, in which case there's something wrong with you, you know, it's good news. I think most people are celebrating that.
You know, people are telling me, and I, you know, these are people that might know this. There are a lot of people on the top end of that whole business that think Elon Musk is literally mentally ill.
Well, he's sort of suggested himself that he is.
Oh, has he really? I didn't know that. I want to hear more about that. When did that happen?
Well, given all the mix of drugs he takes.
Oh, I didn't know that either.
Some of which are illegal, by the way.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Now, he didn't get along with his dad, really. He's a dad. Dad and I didn't get along type of guy, isn't he?
Well, it could be. I don't think he gets along with many of his children. Of course, he's fathered, like 11 kids from, what, four different mothers?
Yeah, but their names are really nice. Like, you got RL2416B. You
know. So, in other words, he's just basically dehumanizing them before they're even born.
Before they're born, he's dehumanizing
them. Most of them have normal names. Technomechanicus isn't the most normal name, though.
Technomechanicus. There is a prime example right there.
Technomechanicus. And then there's that, the famous one with the symbols in the name.
Yeah, it's just all symbols.
Mm-hmm. I wonder how those kids turn out.
And then there's Exadark Sidereal.
The only thing those kids have going for them is that most of them probably wouldn't even recognize Elon Musk if he was walking down the street.
That's probably true. Is he still worth a couple hundred million dollars?
I think he's a little under that now.
Oh, he's got to be worth well.
He was at 280.
Really?
He was at 280. Yeah.
Billion.
Billions, right? Yeah.
I thought you said million.
No, 280 billion.
I was like, he's got more than $100 million. I can tell you that much.
I mean, the estimates are all over the place, it depends on which numbers you're using. But
current Forbes estimate is 178.
I was about to say 180. Yeah. So.
So he's lost $100 billion.
Oh no, he's only worth $180 billion. How is he going to feed himself?
How's he going to get by?
Get the GoFundMe page.
That'd be funny, actually. The world's richest man starts a GoFundMe, just saying, "I don't have enough. Let's see how much we can give me."
Well, a lot of the money that he, in theory at least, lost, just in theory, was, of course, the money he spent on X.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. Net worth isn't money,
right?
Not really.
No, it's not.
It's
like
almost entirely capital.
Oh yeah, it's not like
assets.
Know, take it out of his pocket.
Right. Yeah, that's why people are always like, "Oh, well, you know, Jeff Bezos could pay for, you know, buy housing for every homeless person on Earth." But in order to do that, he would have to dissolve Amazon, and I don't think you really want that to happen.
And that lack of liquidity is probably why Elon Musk doesn't get any money to charity.
That's got to be it.
Yeah, that helps, I'm sure, don't you think?
That's why I don't give any money to charity. No liquidity.
Yeah, exactly.
I just saw a headline popped up on my screen from the Wall Street Journal. They're kind of middling, aren't they? They don't really lean left or right. They're kind of middling.
As a former employee, I would say that the actual journalism there is pretty straight. Yeah. It's just the editorial page that isn't, you know, but they're two separate things.
Yeah, they are completely separate. This just popped up in the commentary section, the opinion section of the Wall Street Journal.
Oh, well, then now there can be pretty extreme.
There you go. Some anti-Israel protesters are being paid to protest.
Well, of course
they
are.
Who's paying them?
People have paid protesters to protest forever.
Well, at least they've been accused of it.
Yes.
I mean, it's the first thing they get accused of, whether it's true or not.
That is true.
How much money would you have to take part in those demonstrations?
$185 billion,
that's right.
Your boy.
No, I mean, that's just one of these tropes you hear every time.
But they actually have names of the people paying them.
Well, sure, but the names are all the same.
They are all the same. Some anti-Israel protesters are being paid by the Rockefeller family and George Soros.
Oh, so there we go. So it's just more anti-Semitism on anti-Semitism. Jeez. Please, go away.
What is Soros' deal? Why do people like him so much? The man is a filthy pig.
I don't think anyone likes him. I think they like his money.
These people don't even know. The people who throw Soros around, like Marjorie Taylor Greene, they don't know anything about the guy. If you knew something about the guy, then you could say, well, you know, he's kind of a turd. But I mean, I don't like the way he got his money, but beyond that, it's just an anti-Semitic trope is all it is.
Is he a Semite? I didn't even know he was a Jew.
Well, that's why people are always dropping his name, like Marjorie Taylor Greene. You know, it's the George Soros funded, or you know, and they accuse this is what 90 years old.
His son says, "I'm far, far further left than my father."
Good.
His son
him.
Just said that last week. But the amazing thing about Soros is that you know he kicked in. I can't remember the name of the damn company. WCCO, they own WCCO.
Yeah.
He kicked in like $400 million to keep that family in the business.
Seems like an overpayment, but...
Yeah, especially on radio.
So how many radio stations did he get for that?
God, I have no idea. They got a lot, though. What's it called again? Starts with an A.
Isn't it like Odyssey or something like
Odyssey.
That?
Odyssey. I think it is Odyssey.
Odyssey AU, right.
It is AU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Odyssey Media, that's exactly right. But yeah, he kicked in $400 million to them. Mm-hmm. I mean, Soros did destroy Hungary's economy. You can't even argue that point. He did destroy their economy. I don't understand the attraction to any of these people. Are the Rockefeller family, are they big into political battles?
No.
I didn't even know they were still around.
That's just another thing. It's just throw the name Rockefeller. That's anti-Semites have been using that as an anti-Jewish thing for 100 years.
Rockefeller?
Blame it on Rockefeller.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Of course, nobody in my neighborhood knew the hell Rockefeller even was, so there you go.
They should be talking about Rothschild. Now, that's the classic. If you had any class, you'd talk about the Rothschilds.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be a totally different argument. Yeah, I scrolled down from the names Rockefeller and Soros, and the first thing I saw was a sign that says, "Let Gaza live." So there you go. They got a big argument going on now. I don't know. I kind of like the arguments between, like, say, North and South Dakota. They're much cleaner, nicer arguments, don't you think?
I love the commercials that you see. You know, why you should move to North Dakota, why you should move to South Dakota.
Yes, they're pretty great, actually.
And I've been, of course, we've all been to both states numerous times. And if you have been at numerous states, you know why they have to advertise to try to get people to live there.
Well,
there's nothing wrong with the states, you know. And I mean, look, I have relatives who used to live in North Dakota. A lot of Jews who came over from Russia tried farming in North Dakota.
Yeah, I do, because I used to live in Grand Forks and Fargo at times in my life.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a whole different world now, I guess. It just, I don't know. Andy, I am kind of concerned about the people in your age group. How are they looking at this whole thing?
What whole thing? The Israel-Palestine thing?
Yeah, I mean, just the misery. The world is miserable right now. It kind of reminds me of the late 60s. It was absolute misery then, and it's absolute misery again 55 years later.
Yes, we're basically in the 60s again.
Why do we keep doing that, repeating this bad timing, bad behavior, and all the rest of it?
That's how it is. Every couple generations, it's a cycle.
It's never going to stop, is that what you're saying?
No, it's been the same thing forever.
But I think it is... It's more than symbolic that in the 60s we were demonstrating for peace, and now they're demonstrating for war. That has to mean something.
I would have to agree with you 100%. It's the exact opposite of 55 years ago in that it was peace then. It's war now.
Yeah, now we have the summer of hate.
Let's go from the summer of love to the summer of hate. What would they do for a... 25, let's say Woodstock. Mm-hmm. What are they going to do?
Well, they tried that in '99. It did not go well.
Yeah, it didn't go well at all, did it? I don't know. Let me just say this. And Andy, you've been with me your whole life, and Mike, I've known you for 40 years. Do you think I would waste my time hating anyone? It's a complete waste of time hating other people. You're just taking bits of yourself and throwing them in the street.
Yeah.
Why would you want to do that? I don't get it. Mm. There are people I don't like. No question about it, but I stay away from them.
It's like the old aphorism that therapists use to this day, mm-hmm. which is that revenge is kind of like swallowing poison and in the belief that it's going to kill someone you mm-hmm. hate.
Yeah, that's a great line. I like that line. No question about it. I have one other question for you. This is going to be that you're not going to be able to answer this question, Mike. I'm just telling you. If they, honest to God, get their way and wipe out the Jews, where the hell are we going to get psychologists and psychiatrists? What's going to happen?
I know, because the first thing you'd want to do is see a therapist.
Absolutely, and there wouldn't be any because they took away all the Jews.
There'd be a
lot of
what
the hell?
Well, there'd be a lot of therapists, but you know, instead of their name being, say, Goldman, you know, it would be like Christensen.
Mm. Yeah, there you
we
go.
Will find ways to survive.
I think that'd be wonderful. I'm sure there are, and it's nothing against you at all, but just thinking about a Christian psychiatrist.
Yeah, it just doesn't sound right.
It doesn't sound, I mean, I'm sure it's fine. I'm sure you do a great job, but it just doesn't sound right.
I've seen a lot of therapists and never a Jew, so I have to say that.
Oh, yeah?
Really?
Yeah.
Well, Jewish therapist is a much older thing.
They tend to be the stereotype, at least, is they're the Freudian.
Yes, exactly.
Guys. Yeah,
and that school of thought is less favorable these days.
Oh, I saw a psychiatrist who my ancient doctor recommended, mm-hmm. and I don't think he said a word for 50 minutes.
Just write things in his little. Notepad.
He made some notes. Yep. Yeah,
mm-hmm. And didn't even talk to you.
Hardly ever. Well, he'd occasionally say things like, well, that must have hurt you quite deeply.
How did you feel about that?
He's just saying things like that. And finally, at the end, he said more than one sentence. But what it amounted to was something like, well, you know, do you want to make an appointment for next week?
For next week,
yeah.
Sure.
And I said, well, I don't know. I said, do I get a refund for the parking here? Then I left.
You know, the first therapist I ever went to, I was, I think, 19 years old. Yeah, I struggled greatly with the family and all the rest of it. But his name was Perry Roth. I loved Perry. He's just a great guy, mm-hmm. all the rest of it. But the one thing I loved about that, there was also another man at the time who called himself a philanthropist. His name was Percy Ross.
Oh, yes. Mm. Yeah, oh, yeah.
Remember Percy Ross?
He went around giving like hundreds of dollars to people. And
yes, he did. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But people thought my buddy, Perry Roth, was Percy Ross. And they constantly ask him for money.
So after the 50 minutes, he'd be giving you $150.
Yeah, exactly. I will never forget that.
Percy Ross died in Edina in 2001.
2001. God, he's been dead for 23 years already. Mm-hmm. That is amazing. It was a different era. All right, closing words. Anyone want to wrap up with anything special?
No, I just want to go to bed.
I would say just hang on because it's going to be a bumpy ride.
It is, isn't it, Mike?
Hang in there, baby.
I hate that. I hate the fact that that's probably true, but it is probably true. No question. All right, we shall talk to you tomorrow. Thank you.
Bye.
See you.